Thank you all very much for joining me for Overcoming Self-Sabotage, Beat the Defeat. So tonight we will be, or today, depending on when you're listening to this, we'll be talking about self-sabotage, that I think everybody has issues with self-sabotage to one extent or another. And I just want to thank you all for being here, and I'm just very honored you've chosen to be here. So I hope you find this call to be informative and helpful. And I'm going to start with a couple housekeeping things. I'm going to keep the call muted. So if you want to raise your hand and want to join in when it's appropriate to join in, please press 5-star. So that will be 5-star if you want to join in with anything. Also, this is a little bit of a spoiler alert for you. This is not a sales call. There will not be a big sales pitch at the end. I will mention another call that I've got coming up and how you can connect with me if you'd like to with a free call, with a free session, but there was no big sales pitch here. And also, I'm going to do my best to keep this to about an hour because I know your time is precious and important and don't want to go over and make this a long, rambly call. And I will open it up for questions at the end. But other than that, it's not going to be a real interactive call, just so we can sort of keep it to about an hour. Okay, so let me let you know the order of things. I'm going to introduce myself and tell you what I do and why I do it. And then we'll discuss the definition of self-sabotage and several reasons why we self-sabotage ourselves. Then I'll be introducing Michelle, and she's going to share some interesting recent insights she's gained about self-sabotage that I think will be very helpful for you. And then we'll do some tapping. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll tell you how you can connect if you want a free session. And then after that, we'll end with a guided meditation. So I want to start this call how I start all my sessions and calls with people, and that is by asking you to put your electronic toys down and to close your eyes and just take a couple deep breaths. And allow yourself to become centered and present here. This is sacred time and space for you to get what you're meant to get, what information you're meant to receive. So just have your heart open for whatever that may be. Take one more deep breath. And open your eyes and come back to here and now. And by the way, I forgot to mention that you may want to have paper and pencil with you so that if you get any insights about your own self-sabotage, that you'll have a place to write that down. And maybe journal on it or tap on it later. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and why I do what I do, and then we'll get going. So my name is Ruthie Cohen Joyner, and about 10 years ago, I was well over 200 pounds, pretty miserable, hated my job, and I'm a dietitian, registered dietitian, and as a dietitian, being that overweight and being miserable is not the greatest combination. Also, I have two daughters that are now 17 and almost 20, and I knew I wasn't being a good role model for them. And I knew something had to change, but I didn't know what. I knew that diets did not work. I had been studying that since the early 90s. And I knew that wasn't the answer, but I didn't know what the answer was. And then fast forward to about 2009, I found EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques, otherwise known as tapping, on the Internet. And from there, I started playing around with it and just became enamored with it, just found it was a wonderful tool to make some differences or make some changes in your life. And I became an EFT practitioner in 2012. And since then, I've been working with women to break through their blocks and start getting the lives they want, working toward really living the lives they want. And so that is why I'm here. I'm really passionate about seeing women especially. I haven't worked with any men yet, but that could change any time. You never know. To learn to find their voice and start living their dream life. It is possible. So that's what I do. Okay, so before we started the recording, I asked a couple people about what they're hoping to get out of this call, and I hope we can work with that a little bit with wondering why we say we're going to do something and then we don't do it. And one example that's already got brought up tonight, and also one of my clients brought this up yesterday, is why do I know tapping will help if I'll do it and then I don't do it? So hopefully you'll get some insight into that tonight. Okay, well, I want to get started now with the definition of self-sabotage. So this is from Psychology Today, and it says, behavior is said to be self-sabotaging when it creates problems and interferes with long-standing goals. The most common self-sabotaging behaviors are procrastination, self-medication with drugs or alcohol, comfort eating, and forms of self-injury such as cutting. These acts may seem helpful in the moment, but ultimately undermine us, especially when we engage in them repeatedly. So I think we probably already knew that, but just thought I would share that with you. All right, so I want to give you some reasons for why we self-sabotage. And the first one, and I think the most important one, is the fact that a part of you wants to do whatever the behavior is. If you choose not to go to the gym, there's a part of you that doesn't want to go to the gym. If you say you're going to start a project, something big at work, and then you keep putting it off and procrastinate, there's a part of you that doesn't want to do it. So I think it's important to understand that there is a good reason for it, that there is a part of you that is doing exactly what it wants to do. It's frustrating, but it's important to know that. And we all have a rebel inside. We all have a part of us that does not want to be told what to do. So I'm going to suggest that changing self-sabotage starts with accepting yourself. Accepting and loving and appreciating even that part that doesn't want to do what you want to do. So that part of you that doesn't like to be told no, it's not going anywhere. We all have a rebellious side. And so learning how to deal with that is where we want to go with this. So one thing I want to mention, that there's a Bible verse, and I apologize, I didn't look up to see exactly where that verse is, that says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. If you let yourself know that something is permissible, there's a good chance you won't trigger the rebellion quite as much. For example, if you tell yourself, I can never have donuts again, no donuts, then that little rebellious part of you is going to be thinking about donuts all the time. But if you change that around to thinking about donuts, well, they're made out of sugar and fat, and if I eat that donut, I'm going to feel gross afterwards, and maybe I can choose to wait and eat it later. Or maybe I can choose to have it just on special occasions. Or if there's one that I just really want, then I'll choose to have one and eat it mindfully. So there's a lot of options of trying to find a way to not be so tied in to the rebellious part, to not say you can't have it because nobody likes to be told no, even by yourself or from yourself. which, by the way, while I'm talking about donuts, just wanted to mention that I'm going to be doing another call on July 23rd. That'll be Kick Your Cravings Out the Door, where we'll be using EFT to tap on cravings. So that's another free call, and just thought I'd mention that real quick while I brought up donuts for you. Okay. So another reason that we self-sabotage ourselves is early mislearning. And what I mean by that is that we learn behaviors early on that don't necessarily serve us now. And the prime example of that is that more than likely when you cried as a baby, whoever was taking care of you didn't really take the time to figure out exactly what that cry means. There's a very good chance they stuck a bottle or a pacifier in your mouth. And as you got older, it was probably a cookie or a sucker. So we learned how wonderful sugar makes us feel in the moment, when we were upset about something. So when you cried, sugar took care of you. So you learned that very early on. So that's why I call that an early mislearning. And it is possible to change that. It is possible to change that learning, but it takes working on your subconscious. And, of course, the methods that I use for working on your subconscious are EFT, matrix reimprinting, and hypnosis. There are others. I do recommend energy work for that, whatever type of energy psychology or energy medicine you like, but those are the best ways that I have found so far to work on the subconscious and work on changing that. So I want to point out here that Brad Yates, who is one of the big names in the EFT world, says that self-sabotage is misguided self-love. So if you think about it that way, your self-sabotage is a way of taking care of yourself. And as I said before, that you're doing it for a good reason. There's a part of you that wants to do whatever the behavior is. And if you understand that there's a positive reason, a positive aspect to whatever you do, whatever self-sabotage you do, I think it kind of helps you to be a little more understanding about yourself and about why you're doing it. So while we're talking about early mislearning, I'm going to invite Michelle to join me to talk about something that she's recently learned that I think you'll all find helpful. So, okay, Michelle, I have you unmuted now.
Okay, here I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
Wonderful. Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Michelle. I am calling in from St. Louis. And first, let me say that, Ruthie, it's an honor to be on your call.
Thank you.
I absolutely mean it. A little bit of background from my perspective and about me. I have dealt with my self-sabotage issues and am currently working to evolve them even more through my relationship with food first, and now kind of evolving into my relationship with my body. About 5 or 6 years ago, I also had a crisis similar to what Ruthie shared, where I weighed over 200 pounds, which for me was about 50-ish pounds, 50 to 60 pounds too much for my frame. And I found myself setting a bad example for my young daughters, really hating on my body. And so I went on a very strict diet and released about 50 pounds very quickly. And within about a year or so, started realizing that my mindset had not changed. I didn't know how to let go of yo-yo dieting, and I was up and down with the same 20 pounds over and over again for several years, back in my chronic dieting behavior, still struggling with binge eating behaviors, emotional eating, comfort eating, as Ruthie mentioned before, a lot of those, classic self-medication behaviors, using food and sometimes alcohol here and there in what I thought was a safe way because I wasn't driving a car, but, I was still find myself kind of checking out from life and from my body. So I've been fortunate enough to be a client of Ruthie's for about a year and a half now, maybe something like that, and also discovered that I love tapping, and I still, you know, I was just tapping this morning and enjoying that practice of learning emotional release. And through some really private, customized work with Ruthie, I've been able to get down to some pretty deep traumas and, you know, release a lot of stuff that happened in my past that I knew, you know, was carrying over and teaching me some of those self-sabotaging behaviors. So in the process of doing all this healing and all this work on myself and my personal development, along with coaches that I trusted, you know, where I could get into deep meditations and all sorts of energetic healing that has helped, and I'm stripping all these layers away, I started realizing that I had such a deep and dark dialogue with my body. So I really started focusing in on my body image, and, you know, really didn't matter what I weighed. If I weighed 200 pounds or 140 or 160, I still kind of talked to myself and my body the same way. The other person I've been working with recently is, her name is Jenna LaFlamme, and she wrote a really great book called Pleasurable Weight Loss that I highly recommend. And some of my coaching with her kind of came together with what I've been doing with Ruthie, and I had this epiphany about some self-sabotaging behavior that I'm going to share now. I have to give you my term. I don't know who else uses this one, but I call what I'm about to describe a fat attack. I think Jenna or someone else suggested that she calls it a mind attack or something like that, because it just depends on what it is that you're doing to yourself in that moment. But here's an example, right? So I'm having a great day. I'm feeling good in my body. I've exercised. I'm eating really well. I haven't binged in, you know, I don't know, months, maybe weeks, whatever it is. It used to be a daily thing for me. So, you know, I'm feeling really good and healthy again. I'm walking through my bedroom to get in the shower or something, or, you know, after a workout, and I turn and look in the mirror, and bam, there are my big fat thighs, and that's exactly what my mind does. I switch on a dime and go from feeling good about myself to the worst self-criticism. You know, I'm sure we all do it, right? We have other, you know, ways that we do it, but for me, it's called a fat attack. And then one of the things I've really been working on is, what do I do when I have one? Because I feel like I can't control my thoughts, and sometimes I can spiral down and, you know, feel, I don't turn around and spiral into, you know, putting my head in the cookie jar right after that, which is a behavior I used to do. But at the same time, even that thought pattern of in the fat attack is self-sabotage. You know, it's another layer that I want to release. So I was introduced to this concept called, well, first it started with, let's talk about your mother. And let me just say, I don't want to talk about my mother anymore, okay? I've had a lot of healing and release. And, okay, so my mom criticized me when I was little and, you know, criticized my body, and I learned to criticize myself because she criticized me. And I've forgiven her, and I tap on it, and I'm sick of talking about it. That's kind of where I am with talking about my mother and my body image, until someone pointed out that there was another way to look at it. The concept is called the suffering obligations of love. So the person who introduced this to me, this was Jenna LaFlamme, whom I referenced earlier, suggested that when children view their parents as having issues or problems that are less than ideal, or if, you know, they see their parents going through a trauma, they try, you know, to fix it. They try to be the class clown, as it were, and, you know, get attention. They do lots of things to try and help mom or dad feel okay. And I can remember my parents being very unhappy, and my mother in particular. And even at a young age, I knew my mother, in this example, for real, my mother did not, never liked her body. She always criticized her own body. So the concept that was presented to me was that when I am self-sabotaging by, you know, speaking that way and having a fat attack and speaking that way to myself, I wasn't really necessarily repeating what she said to me, I was actually emulating her, and I was doing to myself what she was doing to herself. And I said, okay, I can accept that. So she hated her body, I'm hating on mine. But the connector was that next, that would mean that I'm actually, in effect, loving my mother when I'm hating on myself. So the concept was so bizarre to me because I'm so used to the negative spiral, and it never occurred to me that I could picture myself as this little girl who saw my mother having her body shame or her issues, which, you know, happened a lot, and I went and, you know, I can't fix her because I'm her daughter. I can't fix her, so I will be like her. You hate your body, Mom, so I will, therefore, I will hate mine. I will be like you. And it's this suffering obligation of love. I love you, so I will make sure I'm with you. I will be like you. I won't go farther than you. We'll be here together. So I have a couple other examples of friends of mine that I've spoken to about this in with different issues. But the thing I really like about it is that now I have something to do. When I have this fat attack, for example, the first time it happened after this realization, first time I walked past the mirror and was feeling good, turned around or whatever, you know, saw my arms and went, oh, you still have so much weight to lose. I immediately stopped myself and said, oh, there I am, trying to be like my mother again. I took a deep breath and I said, I love you, Mom. I love you. I don't have to be like you in order to love you. And, you know, it may sound simple. Well, it is very simple, but I think it's a very deep concept for me because I'm learning to take that, what I used to think was all negative, and turn it into a loving act of release. So I can recognize, oh, there I am, trying to be like my mom. I love you, Mom, and move on. Believe it or not, it has worked really well. I have not spent more than 30 seconds in a fat attack since I've learned about this, and it's been several weeks since I've really worried about it or felt, you know, kind of a victim to that self-sabotaging behavior. And as I work with that concept, I've come up with maybe two or three other ways that I have done some things to myself that, oh, my dad used to do that. Wow. Oh, I love you, Dad. I'm going to do this and so I can be just like you. And I don't know, Ruthie, if you want me to go into another example.
Yeah,
I
wanted to mention that I think this is very true in money situations, too, that people often will not go above whatever their parents' financial status was because of the same thing, the connecting with their parents at that level. So, you know, if my parents struggle
like
with money, I have to struggle with money.
It's almost like a betrayal in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah, by, you know, surpassing wherever they were or wherever you thought they were, you know, or felt they were energetically, And, you know, my girlfriend, who's a skeptic and a very clinical nurse practitioner, she's my best person to try stuff out on because she doesn't like any of this kind of stuff that we talk about, tapping and anything esoteric, right? So she wants evidence. So I suggested this concept, and she told me it was a crock, you know. And then I said, well, tell me something about your mother. And her answer was, well, I don't even want to talk about my mother. I don't do anything because I love her. She was mean to me. She abandoned me. I didn't see her for 5 years, and my dad had to raise me. And, you know, the usual stuff I was talking about, this happened, that happened. It was all bad. And then I said, okay, well, tell me this. Tell me what you struggle with in a self-sabotaging way. She said, okay, when I'm at work and I say something to my team, she manages a team of about 6 people, I say something to my team, we're going to do this, and if somebody questions me in any way, even if it's like, oh, why are we going to do that, or what should we do next, she said, I immediately shut down inside myself and feel like I'm 2 feet tall. I get defensive. I felt completely, you know, less than, like I can't speak up. I feel criticized, and then I start criticizing myself, and maybe we shouldn't be doing that, and maybe that's wrong. And she said she'll spiral into, you know, like the whole meeting is basically ruined for her, and she doesn't even remember anything that happens to the end of the time together because she's, you know, spiraled out of control because she's being criticized. And I said, oh, okay. So tell me, when you do remember being with your mom when you were little, what was it like? And she said, ugh, all she ever did was criticize me. And she criticized herself, and she hated her life, and she hated my father, and she hated being a mom. She was, you know, questioning everything about her life and this and that and the other. And I said, huh, isn't that interesting? Is it possible that when you are criticizing yourself and you're triggered in those moments and you're having your mind attack, is it possible that you're actually loving your mother by being just like her? And, you know, she looked at me and said a swear word that I won't say on a recording, and that was the end of that. So she actually got a lot out of that, too, and we, you know, we did a little breathing exercise together, and we called it bless and release. You know, so the next time you feel that, you say, I love you, Mom, and you bless and release. And the good thing about it, in my opinion, is when you realize these things about your past and you see that you have this behavior that isn't even yours, you know, you don't really, I mean, you own your actions, but the impetus behind it isn't even yours. You didn't, you know, you adopted that. It's kind of like when kids' parents get divorced and, you know, the kids want to take on the problem of the divorce and they want to try to fix it in the family structure, and it's not, you know, it doesn't belong to the kids. It's not for them to fix. It's the same kind of a concept. So you've got this misguided self-love, as you said, Ruthie.
Right.
And the good news is that you can, you can, like, give it back to them now. You know, that hating on my body that, I realize where that's coming from now with my mother, I've given it back to her. I symbolically held it up in my hands, you know, and said, Mother, here it is. You can have this back. It wasn't mine to begin with. And just keep handing it back to her in my mind because it's not mine.
Yeah.
So that's been a really big eye-opener for me, and there are lots and lots of ways to approach the subject. But that, in terms of, you know, seeing it as love rather than just hating, I mean, it kind of fits into what you were saying earlier about how there's a good reason for everything we do, and it's not all negative, or we wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, thanks for letting me share that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I think it was very helpful. I'm going to go ahead and mute you for now, but Michelle, do you mind being my echo when we do the tapping in a few minutes?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So I hope you found that helpful, and that's one of the reasons I wanted you to have some paper and pencil here, because I thought you might be able to realize, so maybe there is something to this. And I have to tell you, when Michelle first gave me this idea, I started thinking about this because she mentioned her thighs are the part that she doesn't like, and I thought, my stomach is the part that I can't stand. And I started thinking about the fact that my mother, who had 5 children, had that baby bump all the time. So when I've looked back at pictures of her and have seen that she was actually thin but had a belly, that I always thought she was fat because of her belly, and that's the part of my body that I focus on and go, ooh, yuck, look at that belly, look at that stomach, gross. So when Michelle suggested this and I started thinking about it, the next time the thought popped into my mind, ooh, I hate my belly, I thought, I love you, Mom, thank you, and bless you, you know, and I was able to stop it immediately. I did not continue the beating myself up. So I hope that's helpful for you, and that it can kind of help with your, you'll just have to think about how that fits in for you. Okay, so I want to give you a couple more reasons why we self-sabotage, and then we'll do some tapping on it. So another one might be that you just don't feel worthy for whatever it is. So actually, I want to talk a little bit more, and then I'll go back to this or kind of fit it in with a couple other things. Another one is the what's really going on. So often we eat or do something else that we decided that we wouldn't do because of underlying feelings such as anger, sadness, or just not feeling good enough, back to that worthiness, such as going to the gym. So I wonder how many people join a gym and then rarely go, if ever. I think it's a pretty common thing that I hear. And the reason could be that you think you're being lazy, But maybe it's that you don't feel good enough, that you don't feel that you're worthy to be seen in that gym because you feel too fat, and isn't that why you joined in the first place? That it really isn't about being tired, it's about your worthiness. So sometimes we self-sabotage ourselves because we don't believe we're worthy of whatever it is we're trying to do. So you'll have to think about that one and see if that fits for you. Another one is perfectionism, the good old all-or-nothing thinking. How often have you done that where you've said, well, I didn't, okay, let me back up. So I ate good for breakfast and supper, and I mean for breakfast and lunch, and then in the afternoon I ate a candy bar when I got tired in the afternoon. Oh, well, I've blown it. Who cares now? I might as well just keep eating the rest of the night. Does that sound familiar to anyone? And that to me is that all or none thinking. It's that perfectionism where in reality you could choose to just accept, well, I ate a candy bar this afternoon. I ate a candy bar because I didn't want to do my work or because I was tired or because I was angry at something my boss said. There may have been a lot of reasons why you ate that candy bar. And if you're able to stop it there and just realize, okay, I ate a candy bar. No big deal. I forgive myself. I'm moving on from here, and I can choose to stick with the plan and eat what I chose to eat for supper in the first place. You don't have to use it as an excuse to totally go off of whatever you were trying to do for yourself. And then the next two go hand in hand, and that is familiarity and identity. So when you have certain, we all have certain triggers, certain times and places that are harder for us to stick to whatever our plans are. For example, going on vacation, going to the beach. When you get to the beach, it's like, okay, it's, what is that? I saw a sign last time I was at the beach that said it's always wine o'clock or beer 30. So if you're trying not to drink alcohol or at least, you know, limit it to whatever amount and you get to the beach and then all bets are off. Maybe you drink way more than you would at home. Okay, so you're not sticking with the goals that you have for yourself because you're triggered by that place. That to me is that about that familiarity and identity. This is who I am. When I get to the beach, I drink too much or whatever, or eat too much, or don't exercise, or whatever it may be. So those are the reasons why we do this in the first place, and I probably think the most important one is the fact that we are doing it for a good reason. So I want you to keep that thought in mind, that there is a good reason for it. So let's shift gears and talk about how to change this, because that's the real reason you're on this call, right? So the first thing is I just want to say that my specialty is helping people learn to love, accept, and respect their bodies and themselves. And I believe this starts with forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. So I'm going to throw those words out again, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. I think once you've identified that you're doing this for a good reason and that it actually makes sense, that you can offer yourself some compassion and understanding as you're healing this. Because one of the things that makes it worse is when you beat yourself up for it, what happens? You do it again, and you do it more. The more you beat yourself up, the more you're going to keep doing it to make yourself feel better. I also want to look at something that I learned recently in a book called Source Movement by Joe Ingelson. So that's Source Movement by Joe Ingelson, where she talks about the conversations in our head. And she talks about the parrot in our head. So let's say that the parrot is that voice in your head that learned long ago to beat you up, to tell you you're not good enough, you're too fat, you're not doing it right, you're not whatever, you're not smart enough. I had a client tell me yesterday, well, I'm just not good in school. I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. And I thought, where did she learn that one? You know, and so she's lived that her whole life. She's in her 40s, and she's still saying, well, I'm just not good at that stuff. So just an example of what you've learned and how that affects you. So I want you to think about the conversation in your head and how that conversation makes all the difference in what you do. For example, if you say, I'm going to go to the gym today. And actually, I'm going to back it up. I want to use a real-life example because I had a client tell me this yesterday. So I was with a client yesterday, and she said, why do I not get up and do yoga first thing in the morning? And so we got into this whole thing about why she doesn't do what she wants to do. And I said, well, think about the conversation you tell yourself. And she said, well, I just feel kind of lazy, and I just don't want to, and it just feels good to lay in the bed and read a book. And anyway, so that's one place her mind could go. And I said, now what if you change that conversation to something different? What could you tell yourself to be in integrity and to be responsible? So I really want to throw that word integrity out to you. How can you change the conversation in your head to be in integrity with yourself? And so when I asked her that question, she said, well, obviously I could say to myself, I get up and then exercise in the morning. I get up and do my yoga as soon as I get up. And so we talked about putting her clothes out the night before. We talked about just being ready to do that. And back to the familiarity and the identity stuff, it can become your identity. You can become a person who gets up and does yoga first thing in the morning, or a person who does tapping first thing in the morning. Someone else just mentioned that recently, that it's hard to get herself to do the tapping, and she knows she'll feel better if she does her tapping in the morning, but she doesn't do it. So there again, I think it's about the conversation that you share with yourself, that you say, well, I just don't do it. Wonder why I don't do it. Oh, I just don't do it. That you're keeping yourself stuck in that self-sabotaging behavior. So what if you simply change your focus, change your conversation, be in integrity with yourself, and simply say, I can do this. I do know I feel better when I tap, and this is how I'm going to set myself up to do tapping every day. So that's sort of where I want to go with this, and just say that tapping can be used to help with this in many ways. Okay, I'm peeking at my notes, and I'm seeing that tapping is the example of what I was going to say as far as what to do with this. But let me tell you the other two that we're not going to use right now, because we are going to do some tapping in just a minute. The other, or a couple other examples of things you can do when you're self-sabotaging yourself, is to take a moment to just pause, just stop. And use that time that you stop to do one of two things, or actually do the two together, and that is to do some breathing. Just take a few deep breaths. Let's just do that now for a second. Just stopping and taking a deep breath can just slow everything down for you and give you that second to think and make a decision based on where you really want to be. Do you want to be in integrity with yourself and stick with what you want to do? Or do you want to say to heck with it and do whatever pops into your head? If you can pause for a minute, then it can help. And the other part of that is reconnecting with your divinity. And what I mean by that is if you can remember that you do have a higher self, a wiser, braver part of yourself that really does want what's best for you, that really doesn't want to give in to what the ego wants in the moment. If you can connect with that, if you can pause for a minute and reconnect with your divinity by taking a deep breath, you can change what you do. It's just that simple. Okay, so do we have anybody here on the call that needs me to review how to do EFT or tapping before we do tapping? So if you need me to review how to do tapping, please press 5-star so I know I need to go over it. And I also want to mention for those that are listening to the recording that if you go to my website, yourtappingjourney.com, on the What is EFT page, there's a 3-minute long video from Jessica Ortner that teaches you how to do the tapping in 3 minutes. Okay, I'm seeing nobody's raising their hand on the call right now, so I'm just going to assume that somebody listening to the recording can go to my website and learn how to do the tapping before we actually do it. So I'm going to pause for just a second and grab a sip of water, and I'm going to recommend you guys grab a sip of water too because we're going to do some tapping together. And then I'm going to unmute Michelle again, and we're going to do some tapping. So just 1 second, please. Okay, Michelle, I've got you unmuted again, and I want to invite everybody else to do the tapping with us. And by the way, I've written the script out, and I'm going to send it to you on the page with the recording that you'll get tomorrow so that you'll have it if you want to use it as a starting point for tapping on your self-sabotage. So, Michelle, are you? By the way, we're not going to do this right now, but I do recommend that when you're doing this tapping that you do rate where you are, use the SUDS level, the 0 to 10 scale, to rate how badly you want to do whatever the activity is before you do the self-sabotage tapping, and then again after you do it. I'm not going to do it now just because I'm wanting everybody to kind of join in with it, and since we're not talking with everybody, we're not going to get everybody's levels. So, Michelle, are you ready to tap with me?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I want to invite everybody to take a deep breath and then tapping on the karate chop point. Even though there is a part of me that doesn't want to give up this sabotaging behavior.
Even though there's a part of me that doesn't want to give up this sabotaging behavior.
I love and accept myself completely.
I love and accept myself completely.
Even though there is a part of me that is trying to take care of myself with this behavior.
Even though there's a part of me that's trying to take care of myself as a part of this behavior.
I love and accept that part of me.
I love and accept that part of me.
Even though I sabotage myself.
Even though I sabotage myself.
I choose to love, forgive, and accept myself anyway.
I choose to love, forgive, and accept myself anyway.
Even though I sabotage myself and don't always follow through with what I say I'm going to do.
Even though I sabotage myself and I don't always follow through with what I say I'm going to do.
I love, forgive, and accept myself anyway.
I love, forgive, and accept myself anyway.
And one more here at the karate chop point. Even though I sabotage myself.
Even though I sabotage myself
and don't always follow through with what I say I'm going to do.
And don't always follow through with what I say I'm going to do.
I don't always follow through with my promises, especially to myself.
I don't always follow through with my promises, especially to myself.
I love, forgive, and honor myself.
I love, forgive, and honor myself.
And the people who taught me to do this.
And the people who taught me to do this.
All right, take a deep breath. And going to the eyebrow point, I sabotage myself.
I sabotage myself.
Side of the eye, sometimes I even hurt myself.
Sometimes I even hurt myself.
Under the eye, it seems like I need to sabotage myself.
It seems like I need to sabotage myself.
Under the nose, maybe even sabotaging my career.
Maybe even sabotaging my career.
My relationships.
My relationships.
Or my health.
Or my health.
Chin, I'm embarrassed that I make these mistakes.
I'm embarrassed that I make these mistakes.
Collarbone, this is just more proof that I'm not good enough.
This is just more proof that I am not good enough.
under the arm. Hang on, I lost my place. Okay. I sabotage myself.
I sabotage myself.
Top of the head. I might as well give up.
I might as well give up.
Eyebrow. I messed up again.
I messed up again.
Side of the eye. I messed up again.
I messed up again.
Under the eye. I'm a failure.
I'm a failure.
Under the nose. What's the point of trying again?
What's the point of trying again?
Chin. I failed.
I failed.
Collarbone. I always mess these things up.
I always mess these things up.
Under the arm. I can't even trust myself.
I can't even trust myself.
Top of the head. I might as well give up.
I might as well give up.
All right. Take a deep breath. And if you're following this script at home or you're listening to the replay of this, you may want to pause it there and continue going on whatever negative thoughts are going on in your head. But for now, we're going to go ahead and switch it around. So taking a deep breath and then going to the eyebrow. I wonder if it's possible for me to look at this a different way.
I wonder if it's possible for me to look at this a different way.
Side of the eye. What if I could remember that this is actually an act of self-love?
What if I could remember this is actually an act of self-love?
Under the eye. A misguided act of self-love.
A misguided act of self-love.
But a way I'm trying to take care of myself.
But a way I'm trying to take care of myself.
Under the nose. What if it's possible that I'm not really failing?
What if it's possible that I'm not really failing?
Chin. Maybe this is just a bump in the road.
Maybe this is just a bump in the road.
Collarbone. Maybe a part of me is even choosing to do this for a good reason.
Maybe a part of me is even choosing to do this for a good reason.
Under the arm. Maybe I just need to stop and learn from what I choose to do.
Maybe I just need to stop and learn from what I choose to do.
Top of the head. Maybe part of me just needs attention.
Maybe part of me just needs attention.
Eyebrow. Maybe I just need rest.
Maybe I just need rest.
Side of the eye. Excuse me. Maybe I just need a break.
Maybe I just need a break.
Under the eye. Maybe I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, and this is
maybe
part of trying to take care of myself.
Maybe I'm just stepping out of my comfort zone as part of trying to take care of myself.
And keep myself safe.
And keep myself safe.
Under the nose. I choose to honor this part of me.
I choose to honor this part of me.
Chin. And forgive myself.
And forgive myself.
Collarbone. And learn and grow.
And learn and grow.
Under the arm. This part of me is just trying to keep me safe.
This part of me is just trying to keep me safe.
Top of the head. Because I'm not a failure.
Because I'm not a failure.
Eyebrow. Maybe it's really not that bad.
Maybe it's really not that bad.
Side of the eye. I'm human.
I'm human.
Under the eye. And just trying to do the best I can.
And just trying to do the best I can.
Under the nose. Everyone makes mistakes.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Chin. Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
Collarbone. It's okay if I mess up sometimes.
It's okay if I mess up sometimes.
Under the arm. I don't have to give up.
I don't have to give up.
Top of the head. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone.
I'm stepping out of my comfort zone.
And my fear is wanting to keep me stuck.
And my gear is wanting to keep me stuck.
Fear. Sorry.
Fear. Oh.
Yep.
Out of the gears that I'm stuck in.
Eyebrow. It actually makes sense in a weird kind of way that I'm trying to take care of myself.
It actually makes sense in a weird kind of way that I'm trying to take care of myself.
All right. Take a deep breath one more time. And if you're doing this with the suds level, it would be a good time to check your suds. And then we're going to do one last round of tapping, or however long this is. So I want you to go to the eyebrow again. So I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
Side of the eye. And choose to be compassionate with myself.
And choose to be compassionate with myself.
Under the eye. And remember all the times that I've done what I said I would do.
And remember all the times I've done when I said I would do.
I would do. Yeah.
What I would do.
And, yeah.
I've done what I said I would do.
Exactly. Under the nose. What about all the progress I've made?
What about all the progress I've made?
Chin. I give myself a big hug.
I give myself a big hug.
Collarbone, and choose to try again.
And choose to try again.
Under the arm, I choose to love and appreciate myself.
I choose to love and appreciate myself.
And be gentle with myself on this journey.
And be gentle with myself on this journey.
Top of the head, I choose to live in integrity with myself.
I choose to live in integrity with myself.
Eyebrow, I know I can do this.
I know I can do this.
Side of the eye, I am filled with hope.
I'm filled with hope.
Under the eye, and courage.
And courage.
Under the nose, and power.
And power.
Chin, I'm thankful for my growth and change.
I'm thankful for my growth and change.
Collarbone, all is well.
All is well.
Under the arm, I'm thankful for what I have learned.
I'm thankful for what I've learned.
Top of the head, I am grateful for today.
I am grateful for today.
All right, everyone just take a deep breath. So, Michelle, since I've got you unmuted, what's your thoughts on that tapping? Did that help you in any way? Do you think it would be useful the next time you're self-sabotaging?
Oh, I definitely do. You know, for me, I felt myself really relaxed when we got into the second round of, and you started talking about recognizing the behavior as an act of self-love and trying to keep myself safe.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot more compassion for myself and my behaviors when I relaxed into that. That was nice.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody else want to add anything? If you do, press 5-star. If you have any thoughts that you want to add after that tapping. Michelle, I'm going to go ahead and mute you again, so thank you. Okay, one more chance. Anybody want to add anything before we finish up? Okay, you guys are choosing to be quiet. That's fine. So I want to just take a second real quick here and just tell you that I am offering a free session if anybody's interested. It's called an Awakening Self-Love Discovery Call. And on this call, what we'll do is get crystal clear on what your life could look like if you truly loved and approved of yourself. Excuse me, we'll uncover the hidden challenges that are holding you back from achieving this life. And you'll leave this call feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to create powerful results in your own life. So if you're interested in getting one of these awakening self-love discovery calls, please feel free to text me at 704-301-4714. That's 704-301-4714, or you can shoot me an email at ruthie2@gmail.com, and that's ruthietoo@gmail.com, or on my website you can just fill out the new client form, and I'll get back in touch with you to get that scheduled. Okay, so I want to see if there's any questions or any comments before we do a closing meditation. So again, if you have anything you'd like to say before we close, press 5-star. Okay, you guys are wanting to be quiet tonight. Well, that's good. We'll be sticking pretty close to right at an hour then. So I want to invite you now to put down your paper and pencil and to close your eyes and to take a deep breath. And just allow yourself to become calm and centered. Allow relaxation to just simply flow through your body, relaxing your head, your shoulders, your arms, your torso, your legs, and your feet. Feeling very calm and relaxed. And now I want to invite you to offer yourself a virtual big hug. And imagine patting yourself on the back. And being very loving and compassionate with yourself. You really are doing the very best you can. Self-sabotage is just misguided self-love. And you can choose to change your behavior anytime. Change the conversation in your mind to be more loving, more compassionate, and more accepting. And maybe even see yourself as a small child now. And imagine giving yourself as that small child all the love and appreciation she or he deserves. Really feeling that love and that acceptance. And now I want you to imagine yourself in a future situation. It could be tomorrow, could be a week from now, whatever. And see yourself making the decision, having the conversation with yourself to do what you really want to do, of being in integrity with your decision. Maybe that's seeing yourself tapping first thing in the morning or doing yoga first thing in the morning. Maybe it's starting to reach for those ice cream bars and pausing and realizing you have a choice. Taking that moment to pause and reconnect with your divinity. Take a moment now to thank your mom or your dad or whoever brought you up that you feel may have something to do with your self-sabotaging behavior. Offer them some gratitude and bless them. Thank them. And just send love from your heart to theirs. And lastly, once again, just imagine giving yourself a hug, being in that place of complete love and compassion for yourself. And now take another deep breath. And come back to here and now. I want to thank you all again very much for spending this hour with me. I feel very honored and appreciative of your time. And I'm going to unmute the line so everybody can say goodbye if you'd like. So if anybody,
thank you, Ruthie.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you. So goodbye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.